vie nous apporte tout ou rien. Pourtant, il suffit de peu pour être bien. Un regard doux quand tout nous stresse, une main tendue dans la détresse pour nous aider à tout surmonter. Et toi, tu as cette façon. Tu crois que le bonheur est à notre portée. Je le vois dans tes yeux. Ce monde tout est mieux. Je le veux, je le veux. Ce monde tout est mieux. Tu parles souvent d'un avenir sans noirceur.
I'm not. You're listening to 101.5 FM on UMFM. Hey there, I'm Ryan Funk, and welcome to another episode of U Talk. Looking to improve your health is an admirable task. Whether it's physical fitness or finding ways to help one's mental health, having someone for support can go a long way. In today's U Talk segment, we have two interviews. One was with the Peg City Steppers, the other was with Shumaila Humani. Let's get into it.
So my name is Natalia Petrikin, and I'm a run leader with Peg City Steppers. I'm going to let Shanna go through the history of Peg City Steppers and tell you more about the group. But I would say that I'm one of the longstanding members of Peg City Steppers.
Okay, my turn. So hi, I'm Shanna Goodrich, and I'm the founder of Peg City Steppers. So Peg City Steppers is a local running slash walking group based here in Winnipeg. We have been in existence for 3 years. We started in the heights of winter, January 5th, 2020. And since then, we have seen tremendous growth in the group. You know, what started out as a group of friends just wanting to be active and to keep moving during the winter months and during the pandemic, you know, has grown into a community where, you know, we encourage each other daily to, as our mantra say, keep it moving. And, you know, that's one of our main objectives, to continuously encourage people in the community that, you know, live a relatively sedentary lifestyle to get active and to keep moving and to embrace that lifestyle so that we can, you know, live a more healthy and active lifestyle.
Yeah, what you're doing, I think, is just so important. Getting people out there, building a sense of community. Natalia and I had just a quick opportunity to connect before you hopped onto the call. And we're just talking about how, like, community and everything kind of completely fell apart during COVID. So having opportunities like this to reconnect with friends and build new friends and a new community while encouraging each other and, you know, challenging each other to stay active and healthy is incredibly important. And yeah, so August 5th, you have a really cool event happening. Take it away. The Free Health and Wellness Day. What's going on? What's that all about? What can people expect?
So, you know, with Peg City Steppers, we're always trying to come up with new and exciting events. During COVID, we would have had several events that were online. And, you know, people kept saying, we can't wait to do something in person. So I think that kind of helped as well to push us to say, okay, let's do this. Let's make this our first real in-person event that we can bring the community together and have that same type of, you know, excitement and vibe that we're used to online. So the Free Health and Wellness Day that we're hosting this Saturday, it will have a bit of everything. We'll have health and wellness speakers giving an address to the audience, talking about different ways we can improve our well-being, not just the physical aspect, but also mental, financial, and all of those avenues that feed into each other to make a whole person. We'll be having different workout classes. If you remember from our Jamaica 60 online event, when we had the Soca Fit, we had the boot camp, we'll be having a lot of those same classes, but this time in person. You know, we have Cheryl Soca Fit. She'll be here in Winnipeg. She'll be leading that class. It will be fun and exciting. And we just want everyone to come on out and take part. We'll be having different vendors such as Good Life, Hive Climbing, you know, different health and wellness vendors that people can browse, talk to, get to know more about how they can improve on their lifestyle. And it's just going to be an overall fun event, and it's free, That's the most important part.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the most important part.
I agree. The freeness is good. And then you know what happens sometimes? People tend to get hesitant to join a class. Like, you know, they're thinking, you know, I'm going to be the odd one out. I don't want anyone staring at me. The fact that this is going to be open at True North Square, just come on, participate. No one will be watching. Everybody will be just there to have fun. So if it's your first time trying any of these classes, it's a good opportunity to just come on, try the classes, and who knows, maybe it might be your next fitness gig that you may make consistent.
So I guess the question is, like, yeah, how do you kind of start building those good habits to get out there? Because I know for a lot of people who make like a New Year's resolution, or they're like, hey, today's the day I'm going to go get fit. They go for a 10, 15 minute run and they're like, no, never again.
So for me, I'm going to use myself as an example. I've always been one of those people that have participated in different fitness activities at different levels. And that's not really because I love it, but I think from early, I understood the importance of being fit and being active, right? Consistency is key. Being consistent is hard, though. So I think the important piece is to find yourself a good community. Find yourself a community that will support you, a community that you feel comfortable in. And that's what Peg City Steppers has provided for me. Because like I was telling you before, Ran, like I will exercise at home, but I still look forward to going out on a Monday for park walks. I still look forward to going out on a Saturday. Suffice to say, when I don't go, I feel like there is a void. I feel bad. I feel, oh, I missed today. I wonder what happened. What did I miss? So it involves, it brings the fun into what you're doing. So it makes you want to do it, right? And I find sometimes that is what gets us most of the time. So you make these resolutions, but because you don't have that community, it makes it that much more difficult for you to be consistent. So that's a big part of the what the group provides, right? Enlightening people on the different aspects of why it's important to be fit, why it's important to keep moving, why it's important to just not sit at your computer all day and work. You know, we have a WhatsApp group where, you know, I'm not going to exercise today, but someone says, I went to walk the dog. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I really should get up and go walk, right? So community is a very, very important part of just being active and trying to stay consistent, which is the part that is most important, the consistency.
What about you, Shauna? What do you find helps keep you motivated?
You know what? For me, it Natalia hit on a very good point. Like, for me, if you're not having fun, if you're not enjoying what you're doing, then you're not going to stick to it. I find a lot of times people see exercise or movement as a chore or something that, oh, I should do this to be healthy or to be fit. But you asked a very valid point. How can someone that's seeking to start make the first step? And that's just making a simple change. Rather than trying to bite it off in one big chunk, change something simple, like go for a walk around the block for 5 or 10 minutes and try to do that for 5 to 7 consecutive days. And, you know, incorporate that in your day. And over time, the more you're enjoying it, then it will seem less of a chore and more of something that a commitment that you're making to yourself. And over time, you'll see the incremental gains, because now, rather than looking at it as, oh, I have to go do this 5 minute walk, you're looking at it as, all right, let's go do this, because it makes me feel good. It gives me energy. I feel energized when I'm done. So for me, I would say it's just having fun and surrounding yourself with people that will, you know, spark that fun and allow you to enjoy yourself. And for me, that's what Peg City Steppers provides. Whenever we go out, it's nonstop laughing, nonstop fun. So you almost forget that you're feeling all the aches and pains in the legs, or
it's, you know, so true. It's so true. If I may, just yesterday at our park walks, right? Everybody was just feeling, it's Monday, we don't want to go, why are we here? And we just came together as a group, well, it's going to be a walking day. And we just walked, and we walked briskly, had great conversations. And what seemed so daunting at the end of 6 kilometers, we were all happy and done and went home. And to think that we didn't want to go or want to go, want to start because we're feeling so tired, but just the community and being involved, you know, helps. And everyone feeling confident in their abilities too. We have so many people that join the group. Oh, I'm not a runner. Oh, I can't do this. Oh, I can't do that. And to see them now, it's just such a joy and great motivation, even for someone like me that, as I said, I don't like running, but it motivates me to run because I'm like, oh, this person was always walking. Well, you can't come out and walk today. You need to run, right? So,
yeah, yeah, that's true.
So I'm going to have to ask, you know, you started up in winter, and winter has its other challenges to maintain physically active. Right now, at the height of summer, you know, it can be incredibly warm out there. What was it? Just a couple of days ago, I was at the Gimli International Film Festival. So yeah, went last week Wednesday, and just being outside walking around, completely drenched.
Drenched.
For you and the group going out exercising, you know, trying to stay active even in the summer, what sort of tips or advice would you give for people to, as they're going out to try and stay healthy, to stay safe in these kind of hot weather?
So for me, hydration is key. Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. I can't stress that enough. So whilst we know sweating is important, there you go. So, you know, sweating is important, but then, you know, as you sweat, you are likely to become more dehydrated. So that's one important thing, you know, just always try to make sure that you have something to hydrate. The other thing I would say is dress properly. So, and this goes for in the winter as well, right? I know people that are newcomers here and they're like, oh no, I don't want to go out in the winter. I'm here to tell you, if you learn to dress properly, you will be okay. And the same is true in the summer. Wear the appropriate type clothing that, you know, will allow your body to breathe properly. So like, it's not just a racer back top, but a racer back top that's the right material, because then that prevents you from getting soaked and drenched and dehydrated and all that thing. And then the last thing is to, and this is a lesson from me, is to time your activity. So like for me, sometimes I'm lazy. I don't get up in the mornings. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go for an afternoon run. Bad idea on specific days. Not yeah. A great idea. That afternoon heat can be terrible. So that's important too. So check the weather, you know, make sure it's not going to be too hot. If it's going to be too hot, try to go in the morning where it's a little bit cooler. Just to make sure that you take care of yourself, because, you know, whilst you're out there trying to get movement and you don't want to get dehydrated and, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to hurt yourself
more.
Exactly.
You're trying to get healthy, right? You're trying to get healthy. You're not trying to hurt yourself, because, like, it's so easy to get, like, muscle strains or headaches from dehydration.
Yes.
Especially in those, like, high temperatures. If you're doing intense physical labor, and as you mentioned, Natalia, going out in the afternoon, it could be incredibly dangerous, actually.
Yeah. No, I've had a very bad experience to the point I swear I was never going to go out in the afternoon. Went out very hot, not dressed properly, and no water. Because I'm one of those people, I bring the water when I'm running. I don't drink it for whatever reason. But then when I don't have it, I always want it, right? So that's kind of why it's so easy for me to tell you, well, don't do these things, because it has been my experience. Yeah.
Do as I say, not as I do, right?
Yeah. Right.
So where can people go to become a part of the Peg City Stepper community?
Well, so we have two main days that we meet up. We meet on Saturday mornings at the Forks, right in front of Travel Manitoba. So, you know, it's a free event. There's no sign up necessary. You just turn up on the morning. We meet at 7:30 a.m. I know when I say that, people are like, that's a bit early.
On a Saturday.
On a Saturday. But we meet at 7:30 a.m. on Saturday mornings. And on Monday evenings, we meet at 6 p.m. So each month we would change the location. So for the month of July, which recently ended, we were at St. Vital Park. And August, we'll be going to another location. So typically we would post on our social media page at Peg City Steppers on Instagram and on Facebook. We also have a website that I'll share. PegCityStepers.ca, sorry. We usually post our full schedule of events for the month. So if anyone is interested in joining us, they can stay tuned to all our social media platforms and just turn up.
Just to kind of wrap things up real quickly, what has both of your favorite experiences been being a part of Peg City Steppers?
You want to go first, Natalia?
I guess I could go first. It's hard to choose one, you know, Ran. But the truth is, being, well, I don't know if I'm classified as a newcomer anymore, but being an immigrant, let's use that.
Yeah,
word.
There you go.
Yeah. Like I said, running is not one of my favorite things to do, but I know it's important. But being a part of Peg City Steppers has made it one of the best things that I've done here. And that's because of the community. I'm going to use Saturday. So Saturday we went on this event, Berries and Brunch. So we did not run. We didn't do a run on Saturday morning, but instead we went to, it was a group event, and we went and had a very engaging, relaxing, fun-filled event. We did do some amount of walking because we went and picked berries. But for me, like, doing those types of activities really, really help. And being a part of a group that promotes health, wellness, and does other activities.
Yeah, the social bonding aspect.
The social bonding, it's irreplaceable. There is, like, there's nothing like it, right? When you don't go to run and you miss going. Remember, it's not about the running anymore because I don't like to run. But the fact that I miss it and I feel that there is this void when I don't go on a Saturday morning, when I don't go, I get up, I'm miserable and can't speak to the husband, don't want to talk to the kids because what? I didn't take care of me first, right? So having a community where you know, I can resonate with people that, you know, that were like-minded individuals, you know, really, really, really helps me. And I think, you know, that's my favorite part of it. It's not an activity, but it's my favorite. The whole community is just, you know, it's just awesome.
Shannon, what's your favorite experience?
Boy, there's so much. I don't even know which one to choose. But for me, like, seeing where the group has, like, been, like, started, it was literally three of us, myself, Natalia, and another colleague, Rachel. And seeing where we are today, we have like 30 members. Not all 30 are active every week, but just looking at that growth and seeing the community that we have built and the interaction that we have. And when you hear the positive feedback from our members, just yesterday when we're at Park Walks, one of our newer members who has been with us for less than a month, she said, you know, this is one of the best things I've done for myself, for my life, because I could feel the difference in my body since I've been coming out with you guys. Like, I feel more energetic. I'm so excited to come out to these events. So when I hear like that type of positive feedback, it's, for me, that makes me feel so good because it shows that the message or the objective that we're trying to achieve with the group and also with these different social interaction and events that we put on, that message is getting out there. People are responding to it. So for me, I would say that brings me the most joy, or that's one of my favorite experiences.
Shauna, why don't you tell me again what's happening this Saturday?
So this Saturday, it's the Peg City Steppers Health and Wellness Day at True North Square, starting at 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Come on out and enjoy all that there is to enjoy. And, you know, I also want to take this opportunity to give a shout out to the Canadian Heritage Foundation and the Kenyan Association of Manitoba. You know, we were lucky enough to receive some funding from them this year, and that has helped us significantly in hosting events such as this one. And we would love for our community members to come on out and to enjoy and to just take part of this amazing experience. That's it.
In the beginning of time, the time before time, when all had been created, that is, the universe and the flesh, and before life had been breathed into human flesh, and when existence was only of the souls. The soul entered a covenant, a primordial covenant, before it was permitted entry inside a human body. And Allah asked the soul, Alastu bi rabbikum, am I not your Lord? And the soul replied, yes, indeed you are. And the soul testified to live on earth with purpose, to keep on the path of the good, and to remain vigilant of the presence of the great beloved, the great healer and the great protector.
Shamaila Himani. I am a Sufi singer-songwriter and acousmatic composer based in Calgary, Alberta. And I recently released a new single.
Your last piece, absolutely amazing, kind of those exploration of sound and everything.
Thank you.
What kind of approach did you do for this new song? Walk me through it.
So this song is based on a poem I wrote back in 2020 when I was in Toronto. As part of Canada Music Incubator's Artist Entrepreneurship Residency. And this poem got published in the New Forum magazine, which is a feminist magazine. And they later nominated for the Alberta Magazine Awards in Poetry. So just a little bit of the context about it. I wrote it on September 29th, 2019, which is Suicide Prevention Day. And I was reading an article by a Muslim blogger who was relating her experience with suicide prevention, and considering her mother had passed away as a result of suicide. So she was exploring the Muslim dialogues and discourse on, you know, sacredness of life and how to bring forward a Muslim woman's perspective. So that article somehow really struck a chord, and something just happened. I was already working with a verse, a Quranic verse, which is how the Sufi poet Shabd al-Latif Bitai, he starts his chapter of poetry, Sud Marvi, with this verse, and it kind of symbolizes the primordial covenant that the soul entered before coming to life within the Muslim.
And that's the name drop. That's the name of the piece?
Yes, that is the name of the piece that I recently released. So it's a piece that has been in making since 2019. So it's been almost 4 years for me to come to where it is now. I think it's the way it has resonated with the audience as well. Like, it was premiered at Arts Commons in June as part of TD Amplify, and then at the Sled Island Festival, people could resonate with the soul searching aspect within this piece. You know, there is a search and there is a covenant to stand for equity and justice and peace that this poetry brings forward. So I don't know, like, I'm still
in the processing process
of, you know, having this piece out there and having people listen to it and comment on it. So I'm still in that journey. I find that I remember, like, a couple of months ago, I was part of this short workshop on music therapy, and some folks talked about how some pieces of music, you know, they take such a long time. There are some songs that take such a long time to get completed, and they really test your resiliency and your patience and your really, like, it's, you know, and the question that one of the participants raised was, how do you deal with such songs? Because they sometimes make you feel like you're not good enough for them. Why is it not getting completed, you know? And I thought about this piece back then, and I'm like, I know exactly what you mean. I'm working on this piece forever. It doesn't get completed, but I found a new approach towards it. And that is, there are some pieces of music that are in making that become your mentor. They are your mentor, and they're taking you on a musical and a soul journey. And when you're going to get there, that piece is going to get completed. And I felt that for other participants too, that was very meaningful, that, you know, the song itself becomes a mentor to you, that is trying to tell you something, that's trying to teach you, and that's trying to take you on a journey. And I find that Primordial Covenant is definitely a piece that initiated a new music journey for me, which I still am on. So I will keep growing and evolving and looking back at this piece in new ways as I move forward.
Absolutely amazing. I'm just reading a little bit about the biography that you have on your website about it. Walk me through kind of the sound profiles as you're creating this piece. You know, you're taking this poem and you're trying to dedicate kind of these aspects of peace and justice. How do you tie those sounds into there? What sort of instruments and things and sound profiles do you use to kind of encompass those emotions and feelings?
This piece started with just the basic riff, you know, Alas tu bi rabbi kun. And that was just the basic riff that hit me, and it has continued to linger and stay within the piece. And the musical vocabulary that I draw upon, where I come from, is South Asian Sufi music and the tradition of Khayal Gaiki, which is popularly known and referred to as the Hindustani classical. So I have received training in that from my Ustad Hamid Ali Khan Sahib, who passed away in 2019. So I find that there were resonances that were carrying on in this piece while I was composing. But as the melody kind of came forward intuitively, it was not falling within the Hindustani scales. It was within a Middle Eastern scale called Hijaz. It's a very beautiful mode. And that's what this piece has is based upon, the melodic mode of Hijaz. But the melodic development in this piece has sort of followed some of the musical idioms of Khayal Gaiki within the South Asian tradition, and integrated with chord structure, which is not harmonic, but it's very chromatic. So I have added chords that are that add a different layer of emotion in the music, just in the way the chord progressions.
What's the difference between a harmonic versus a chromatic kind of chord piece? Like, what do those kind of like sounds differently? What are those?
Interesting. So, for example, in the Hijaz mode, you have the second is minor second. And so moving between, let's say, B flat major and B major, or B flat major and B minor. These are some of the things that you don't find in the classic harmonic tradition, but you can add it. You know, in Western chromaticism, you have this option of free playing, not using the rules of harmony, and not being so concerned with, you know, the 1-5-1 structure, and dissolving the tensions and coming back to the tonic in that same way. So it is kind of almost creating your own musical language, but using the 3 or 4 patterned chord structures.
Also, you're number two on a contest to perform at the We Can Survive concert in New York City. What is that? And I guess just that's very exciting to also be number two already on that list.
Yeah, this We Can Survive concert is a concert that's taking place in New York City or somewhere. I think they have recently come up with the venue, which is Prudential Center, and I think that's in New Jersey. And this is a concert that's taking place. It's being curated by Odyssey Entertainment in partnership with American Foundation for Suicide Prevention Awareness. There are like a couple of rounds, and the first candidate or the candidate who is selected for the opening act will be decided by the end of August or early September. So it's a very competitive rounds that we're going through. And currently I'm in the second round for this contest. What this will enable is for the person to open an act. It would be an opening act for a much bigger concert that is going to be the headliner could have in the past been performers such as Taylor Swift, Alanis Morissette, and others. So one of the questions that we were asked was, who would you like to open for? So it's a very exciting opportunity, especially because it stands for a significant issue, which is suicide prevention. And one of my songs was featured in Cross Canada Tour for Suicide Prevention Awareness and Hope in 2020. So I feel very strongly about the cause, and that's why I entered into this contest. And it's pretty exciting how it's moving forward.
How do people help you continue to build? How do they help get you to that number one slot?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Instagram at Shamaila Himani, and in my profile there is a link to vote. People can vote every 24 hours. It's totally free to vote. And by sharing my music and profile and voting every day, I think I might have a chance.
All right, we got to get on it. And in that case, if you have the opportunity to open for Taylor Swift, you can ask her why she didn't bring her concert to Canada. Like,
it's big on the news.
Suicide prevention. Yeah, I think it's an incredibly important topic to raise awareness, kind of improve things, because these are 2019 statistics, but here in Canada, so according to Statistics Canada from 2019, approximately 12 people die by suicide each day. And with COVID and everything, and these senses of complete hopelessness or isolation, that number probably increased. So continuing to improve awareness and advocate for services and things for people like that, I think, is incredibly important for yourself. You know, why is it important to you? Why is spreading awareness about suicide prevention important?
Well, I'm actually hearing a lot about South Asian international students in Canada who are dying from suicide every month. The numbers are increasing, and there's still some reports that have to come out on this about why that is the case. But I was once an international student. I studied at the University of Alberta. I was a doctoral student, and I recall the time when my funding was ending and having to pay for such a huge tuition amount, especially towards the end of the program while I was writing my dissertation. It was a traumatic phase of my life. I feel like a part of me is still in there because so much happened. I think it was probably around that time that I started experiencing dark spots myself. So I have been struggling or fighting suicide myself for about 7 years now. I haven't made any attempt, which makes me a very unique statistic, perhaps, because a person who has experienced suicidal ideations or thoughts for that long, they do end up making or having an attempt. But I haven't, perhaps because I lean on so much to towards hope, and I let people come in and help me. I reach out when my thoughts are on the rise. So I have taken measures to help myself, stand up for myself, advocate for myself, even in moments in time when I felt that, literally, I felt like there is nobody around me who cares or who loves me or who knows what I'm going through. These thoughts are momentary, because once you're out of them, you realize that people do care. People really do care. And there are a lot of people who love you. But there are moments when you feel like you're really alone dealing with all the curveballs in life. And I find that because I have been thrown into this phase in life and I'm working through it in ways, what I have received in terms of the understanding and self-awareness and the need for more self-love and so forth, it's something that I would like to spread to other people. So I find that this is something I am being called to do. And I feel very internally and passionately connected to the cause, because it's something I deal with myself. I have been supportive towards friends who have actually made failed attempts to end their life and sunk in depression even further. I remember being supportive and saying that, you know, life has surprises, because, you know, when you're in that phase of experiencing dark spots, sometimes feel like we figured life out, that it's, things are not going to change. It's going to stay there. And you're struggling and trying so hard for no reason. You're just like this puppet in the grand story.
The what's the point sort of thing, if it's going to be a struggle every day, always, for the rest of my life, what's the point to kind of just wait it out?
Absolutely. There is nihilism that comes with it. And you need a change, at least for me, a change in perspective, or even a talking to someone, maybe a counselor, like mostly definitely a counselor, really helps, because it unloads. And when my mind is unloads from that process, I start looking at my problems in a completely new light. And I feel like I do have the agency and I do have the power to walk through the barriers that I'm experiencing at the moment. So it's not a very, it's not very easy. It's not an easy journey. And I find that the more you cross those barriers, because sometimes life is hard on those who are pushing the boundaries. And I think for me, that is one of the case, because I'm doing the kind of things that maybe no one in my family did before, no one in my friend circle has done before. So I'm continuously pushing the boundaries, and that's where my barriers come from. So I think people like us and others, we need to continuously do that in order to make the world a better place. And I think in these moments, when I hear that from an external person, let's say a counselor, that what you're doing is so important, and you can't let people stop you, or even if they're treating you unkindly or cruelly or mistreating you, there's still ways that you can gravitate and find another path and find people who will be there for you, who will love you for who you are, and, you know, move away from those people who are being judgmental and so forth. So I find that these tools have really helped me, and I want to create more awareness about suicide prevention and create more hope in the world with my music and with art. So this is something that I take very seriously, and I connect with very deeply.
It can be hard sometimes with the news that comes out, with like the climate crisis and everything. Like, things can feel dire and bleak. And as you're mentioning, some people feel like they're walking a path alone, that there's no one else around there. But I like to think that everyone has a story, and it's unfortunate when those stories are never completed. The potential that every human life has and could potentially bring to the world. So yes, continue advocacy, providing services, as you mentioned, developing those tools with a psychologist and a counselor to help you through those difficult times and I know it's hard to like find and build a support system, but you know, the internet is a great thing. There are so many different groups and things that people can reach out to find people who have the same lived experiences, struggling with similar emotions and challenges that they are. And together, you know, you can work. It's something that's not going to be easy and something that it might never go away. It might be a feeling that's always there and you always have to work on.
Absolutely. I think one has to figure out what works for you. You know, if focus groups work for you, where you can go into a group setting and share how you feel with a group of people who are going through something similar, if that works for you, I think by all means, that is something that you need to reach out to. I felt for myself that focus groups made me feel more vulnerable because the people I was working with came from such different forms of privilege that I felt even more vulnerable in those settings. So I found through a lot of work that crisis counseling worked for me. Sometimes, you know, just when I'm in that phase, in that difficult moment, and reaching out to someone and having someone talk me through or talk me out of those difficult moments, that worked out for me even more than long-term counseling or short-term counseling, which can be kind of digressing at times, considering that, you know, you're coming out of a completely different phase and then you walk into a counselor's office and then you spend 1 hour. And so what I'm trying to say is, if one thing doesn't work out for you, try another and try another. But there are a lot of ways that you can be helped. Don't give up on this. Yeah, don't give up on yourself.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you want to check out some other great interviews from UTalk, make sure you head to u-channel.ca. I'm Ryan Funk. This was UTalk. Join me again next Tuesday, and we'll connect with even more people from your community.
space there for me.